I went to graduate school in the late 1980s, and that was almost precisely at the time that the so-called race movies from the 20s and 30s were being rediscovered. And so what I noticed was that the film history textbooks that I had learned from as an undergraduate almost didn't mention Michaud at all, you know, despite the fact that there were huge book chapters on individual D.W. Griffith films. And so what happened was that the academic culture changed when these films started to be unearthed. And right now, Michaud is talked about in almost equal terms of Griffith in the teens for thinking about the ways in which race relations define American civilization between the late 19th and early 20th century, that is the moment at which the cinema is born. So the first Michaud film I saw was Within Our Gates. That's one of the films I'll talk a lot about tomorrow night. And that's a film that cannot be helped but be read against Birth of a Nation, which is Griffith's most famous film about race. Birth of a Nation features a story of the birth of the Ku Klux Klan. It foists a false idea about America that there are black men wandering around the countryside attempting to rape white women. And the plot of Michaud's Within Our Gates is about a light-skinned African-American woman who's attacked by a white guy. And it's cross-cut, essentially using the techniques of Griffith with the lynching of the woman's father and mother. And so to see Within Our Gates, after being taught that the most important film of the teens is Birth of a Nation, was quite a shock. And it really fueled in film studies an attempt to unearth as many of these race films as possible. A great many of them are by Michaud. Michaud was by far the most famous of the race filmmakers. And this wonderful new DVD collection has just come out. It's called The Pioneers of African American Cinema. And that collection has 9 Michaud films. We think Michaud made 44 films in his lifetime, so that's almost a quarter of the entire output of Michaud. And that's really impressive when you consider that old films, that is the films of the silent period, of the early sound period, were not made on safety stock, and almost all of them have disintegrated if they weren't precisely preserved. And, of course, only big-budget Hollywood films would have been preserved.
Michaud had a near 30-year career, I believe. And what some people who aren't familiar with him may not know is that this career started, I believe, in the late 19-teens. And as an African-American filmmaker during that period of time, I wonder just how far ahead of his time was he? Did he have many other African-American contemporary filmmakers during that period?
The so-called race movies are generally made in major northeastern cities. So the most famous of all these films is a film by Frank Peregini, who's a white filmmaker, but it features an all-African-American cast. That film is called The Scar of Shame, and it was made in the 1920s. And it was made by a society called the Colored Players of Philadelphia. So Philadelphia is one of the northeastern cities that has a strong middle-class African-American community. And so a film like that is financed separately, right? African-American folks were not allowed to work in Hollywood, with the exception of demeaning roles of porters and maids and whatnot. So this is a separate cinema. It has a fairly stable home in generally the same places that the African-American press is strong, so generally big northern cities. Michaud is a little bit of an exception, because what Michaud does is actually forward rural values. So Michaud was born on a farm in Metropolis and grows up on a farm in Kansas. And he has all these fights with his father. He doesn't like sort of living on that borderline between north and south. he's a very angry young man in terms of the way African-American people are treated. He's one of 13 children, so he moves to Chicago with his older brother and is surprised by how horrifying he finds northern urban living. So this is a really interesting story because Michaud's experience of the northern migration, right, which is the dominant experience of African-American people from Reconstruction into the 20th century, is quite negative. He finds his brother living what he calls the good life, by which he means a world of poverty in northern cities. That's a life of, you know, card sharps and pool halls and whatnot. And he finds it actually morally offensive. So he works as a Pullman porter, which is virtually one of the only stable, high-paying jobs for African-American men in the early part of the 20th century. And he saves up his money, and he moves to South Dakota and becomes a homesteader. And so his idea is following the teaching of Booker T. Washington, that African-American folks should engage in hard labor to become fully functional Americans. And that's what he does. And so through this weird melodramatic story, he marries this woman and then becomes estranged from her family, and his wife steals all his money, that he leaves the homestead and becomes a novelist. So he writes this autobiographical novel in 1913 called The Homesteader, which is literally about his life. But its thematics are to celebrate the life of hard work on farms. The Homesteader is very successful. It was printed in a run of 1,000 copies, and they sold out. And so a Chicago-based filmmaker said that he wanted to make a film version of The Homesteader, and that's how Michaud became acquainted with the film industry. The guy that wanted to make the film turned out to be something of a cad, and Michaud decided it was not worth having someone else make his films, and so he started his own company, the Michaud Book and Film Company, to make movies that he would be in control over. And so the films that we have extant are not the first one, The Homesteader, but the second one, Symbol of the Unconquered, which is a literal kind of response to Birth of a Nation. It's a story about the founding of the Klan in America. And then the second extant film, that is the third of the Michaud films that we know of, is Within Our Gates, a film that made a major splash both in America and in Europe.
How is it that no one's made a film of this man's life? If it were a work of fiction, no one would believe it. Could we recognize any contemporary movies or any filmmakers that that you think are obviously influenced by Michaud's work?
There have been documentaries about Michaud. It certainly is the case that there are no fiction films about Michaud, and his life is really a kind of interesting attempt to think about the way in which the African-American experience works, not on the side of representation, but on the side of cultural production. So there is really a great fiction film that remains to be made. The most recent documentary about Michaud is called The Czar of Black Hollywood. That was released in 1914. But there's a bunch. They started to be made in the late 1980s when these films were being rediscovered. In terms of the influence that Michaud has had, since the academic rediscovery of Michaud in the late 1980s, it's essentially de rigueur to teach Michaud in film school. And so most of the younger contemporary African-American filmmakers would know Michaud. And so it's really hard to imagine how a film like Moonlight could work without Michaud standing behind it. The sense that one represents African-American subjectivity in a way that's different from Hollywood filmmaking, that for Michaud was out of sheer necessity, and for contemporary filmmakers is a way of establishing a different language that we would associate with African-American aesthetics. To go back before the contemporary generation of African-American filmmakers, I think it'd be fair to say the films of Spike Lee are highly influenced by Oscar Michaud, that if you look at a film like Spike Lee's Bamboozled, which is about the nature of the African American culture of the time that Michaud is making films, I think you can establish that kind of connection. Michaud made essentially a documentary record of African American vaudeville performers called The Darktown Review, and that kind of sense of what African American culture looked like in the Jim Crow era, I think, finds its way into Spike Lee's representations of blackface minstrelly in Bamboozled.